Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on WFAN New York City, and we got a Pro Bowler. We have an All-Pro. More importantly, we have a Hall of Fame wide receiver with us. It's my main man, Terrell Owens. Terrell, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This is awesome. You know, congrats to everything that you have going on. I know we're going to talk about me, but, you know, we always, when we're in this position, especially myself, we have to give each other our roses, you know, when they deserve them. So I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Oh, man. Listen, T.O., I appreciate it, but it's all about you. I got a lot of callers who say nice things about me. I appreciate it coming from you. There's so much to talk about. I know you have a new wine label. I know you. There's also the playoffs. There's a lot I want to discuss with you and start off. One of the first things, we're in the middle of the playoffs. I got to ask you, the NFL, when you played, it was legitimately called in many spaces a no fun league. It's just like you don't celebrate. You put your head down. You score the touchdown. You run back to the huddle. Nowadays, here in 2021, you can't see a touchdown scored without the entire team running to a video board that the NFL put up. What are your thoughts on how the NFL has changed and what you did versus what's being celebrated now?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great thing for the league. It's something that, you know, at one point in time they tried to take away. And as you mentioned, you know, everything that the league is celebrating now and being embraced, I was heavily criticized for. There's a lot of commentators, namely mostly a lot of white commentators. Some of those were old school guys when I played. Some of those guys left the game and then went into the booth. And, you know, for me, I think I became an easy target at the hands of Skip Bayless. He was a journalist, beat writer in San Francisco. And the first few years, you know, there was nothing ever heard about me as far as my personality, things of that nature. I was always quiet. I was very humble, very respectful. These are some of the things that he has written about me as far as his observance of me, even just talking to some of my teammates and coaches. And it wasn't until I started to really feel confident in myself, on the field and in my ability that I came a little bit, like I came out of my shell a bit and I started to just have fun with the game. And I wanted to just do something that motivated and inspired me. And so I started to do these touchdown celebrations or what have you. And, you know, with Skip Bayless and some of the, you know, things that were transpiring at that time, you know, people started to criticize me for celebrating. And he just basically kind of took that and ran with it. And then it got to the point that, like I said, once I started to become a household name, once I started to come out from under the shadow of Jerry Rice, my teammate, who is considered the greatest of all time at receiver, I started to emerge into T.O., who people know me as now. And so a lot of people didn't know how to take that. Because I wasn't Jerry Rice. I wasn't that guy that, as you mentioned and you alluded to, you score a touchdown and you give it to the referee and you go back to the sideline. I wanted to have fun with the game, and you know, scoring touchdowns was part of really my motivation for getting into the end zone. It was nothing less than that. And so people you know, really they mistook who I was. They mistook my character based on some of the things that Skip Bayless had started to say about me and some of these commentators. And then it started to rub, you know, some of the opposition, the other teams, the wrong way, because I was starting to be on ESPN pretty much every weekend because I was getting to the end zone and I was doing these dances, and it became a topic. So now it's, I'm being selfish. Now it's, I'm taking away from, you know, my teammates. I'm taking away from the team, because now it's like, okay, I'm pointing the fingers all at myself. All eyes are on me. But I never really looked at it that way, JR. I was just having, I just went out there and I just wanted to have fun with the game. And so if you look at where the game is now, you would have to say, I wouldn't say that I was a trendsetter, because they were, you know, guys were dancing in the end zone.
Yeah.
Prior to me playing,
Icky Shuffle, they may not go back. Yeah,
right. You think about the Icky Shuffle. You think about Billy White Shoes Johnson. Yeah. These are some of the guys that just come to mind. Maybe they didn't get into the end zone as often as I did, which is probably the difference. But I was doing nothing different than what they were doing. I just probably did it with a little bit more flair. I just became, you know, I just wanted to enjoy the game. And, right. And if you think about where we are now, everything that has transpired, you know, when you talk about racial injustice, racial inequality, when you think about systemic racism, for me, I knew all this stuff was going on because I was raised by a grandmother who basically mentioned that some of these things were going to happen. It may not have been in your face, but when you talk about systemic racism, it's not going to be in your face. I knew of these things. And so for me, when I saw white commentators and analysts saying these things about me based on information, maybe from one or two guys in the locker room, players or coaches that really didn't know me as a person, that was saying these negative things behind my back. And then that really kind of prompted them to say the things that they did. And so anything negative that they could have said about me, that's what they did. But when you look at today's game, just because of so many social media platforms that these guys have, using their voice. For me, I was voiceless in a sense, because I couldn't have, the things that I was thinking or I probably wanted to say, I probably would have gotten vilified for it.
Well, let me ask you that. We got Terrell Owens here with us. You talk about being vilified, and we see all of the social media platforms that are around and available today. You mentioned all the disgusting things that we know have been going on here in the country, but have been in the forefront over the past year. Even the NFL has changed this approach on that, right, how it relates or pays attention to racism. And this is years after Colin Kaepernick had to go ahead and take a knee and be killed for that. How do you view what the NFL has done? Do you see it as something that's authentic, or do you view it as something that's about the money, even in the coaching ranks? You know, Eric Bieniemy is someone still right now. I can tell you players, I've had conversations with players who go, he's that guy, but he's still on the sidelines. What are your thoughts on how the NFL approaches that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you know, some of the vacancies that are have been and are available now in the league. You think about the Jacksonville Jaguars. They just hired Urban Meyer. Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, my former coach, Andy Reid. This guy's name has been, you know, thrown around the last probably like 2-3 years. And here's Urban Meyer, just retired, you know, from college. He's gotten a job already. There's a couple other guys. I don't even know who they are. These young cats that are securing head coaching jobs, you know, that really don't have a lot of experience. You think about Eric Bieniemy. He has that experience. He has that pedigree. I mean, he's a champion. He's a Super Bowl champion coach. Again, it's obvious. And so when it comes to the NFL, when you think about the authenticity of it, I don't think it's there. It's smoke and mirrors. They're going to put the money before change. And that's where it's such a drastic difference in the NBA and the NFL. They're just not talking the talk, you know, they're walking it. You know what I mean? They're doing things to make change. Social change has been at the forefront of them. It's not just it's just not the economics of it. Yeah. And for me, like I said, it's not authentic. I think if they were authentic about it, then you would see more change, more things done, just not in the aftermath. And even since the aftermath of everything, what have you seen from the National Football League that they're, I guess, progressively doing? For me, like I said, it's I don't think it's authentic. I think they had to, you know, make some statements, blanket statements at that, when they felt like, you know, they were under fire. You talk about, you know, the messages coming from Roger Goodell. I think if anything, if they were authentic about what they were doing, number one, they would have offered an apology to Colin Kaepernick, because what we've gone through as a country, this guy, he basically lost his job, you know, put himself in really in harm's way when it came to the media to criticize him by standing up and, well, actually kneeling for what he believed in.
Yeah.
And again, he addressed those issues. And so you think about some of the people that misconstrued what he was trying to say. They basically kind of skirted around the actual message of why he knelt. Where we are today as it relates to football and, you know, their messaging, you know, I don't think they're doing enough. Yes, they've come out and said the right things. But I think a lot of guys, like I said, you know, around the league, especially black and brown players, I think they need to kind of really do more. I think they need to unify, just like that. If they look at the blueprint and look at what these guys are doing in the NBA, really unifying.
You know, Terrell, I think, and this is the tricky part. And we hear with Terrell Owens. You talk about speaking up, and you talk about what you may receive or not receive in return. I mean, we all know you were Hall of Fame the day that you walked off of a field. All right, you had to deal with the writers, and oh, he doesn't deserve it. It's nonsense. That's just the reality of it.
Right.
Were there any instances in your career that you would have done anything differently?
No, not at all. I don't regret anything about my career. And I felt like if I did, especially as far as me being who I am as a man today, you know, I didn't really see it as being outspoken. I just looked at it as being honest, being true to myself, because that's how I was raised. My grandmother, Alice Black, like I said, you know, grew up under her roof, very strict. Strict Christian lady, grew up in the segregation era. She basically taught me and basically shared with me some of the things that she had gone through growing up as a black lady, black girl, and the same with her mom and her family. And so, as I said earlier, the things that she shared with me, the things that she taught me, I knew these things. I saw them when I was playing. When you talk about the systemic racism, people can say it's double standards. I mean, I experienced all of that, but I just stayed focused on the task at hand, because I would have gotten the same treatment probably that Colin Kaepernick, you know, had been subjected to had I brought some of these issues up. We didn't have the social media platforms as we do now. If you think about the podcast and Zoom.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. Listen, Terrell got a podcast too. Get your popcorn ready. Go ahead, T.O.
Yeah, absolutely. Just think if we had, you know, these platforms back then, I would have been able to kind of dispute or dispel, you know, some of these negative things that were being said about me or what have you. I knew at some point, like I said, talking to people, even within the organization, black people, you know, close to me, mentors, my coaches, you know, you just got to fight your own battle. You got to stay in your lane, so to speak. And that's what I did.
So, T.O., we know about you. We know about what you have done on the field, and the New York Jets, brand new situation, head coach Robert Saleh. They got a whole lot to figure out. Do they keep Sam Darnold? Do they draft the wide receiver? Do you trade the pick? There's so many questions. But more importantly, T.O., you still in good shape. Can you play for the Jets?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The way that guys are playing now and the way the league is, I definitely can play right now. Could I give you 60, 75 snaps right now? No, but I can play on third down situations and in the red zone. I'm definitely going to get you some points. That's for sure.
All right, listen, Terrell Owens, we need to get him on the Jets ASAP. When you think about it or you evaluate talent, a lot of people are talking about Justin Fields here or Sam Darnold. I always view quarterbacks either you got it and you can help take a team to the next level, or you are okay and you need a whole lot of folks around you. How do you view quarterbacks in that situation, as like a Justin Fields or a Darnold? Sam is not Aaron Rodgers. Nobody is. Right. But Sam also, it may not be the worst. How do you evaluate QBs?
When you look at the QBs now, you think about the success level. You think about just the longevity. You think of Drew Brees. You think of, you know, really Peyton Manning, who played a number of years. You think about Tom Brady. The reason these guys are able to play well into their 40s is not only just because of their skill set, but you got to think about who protects those guys. Those are the guys up front. You can have a medium, or I guess intermediate level of talent. But if you got the protection and you hone in on your skills, that protection, along with your practice habits, your work ethic, it can take you a long way. So the names that I mentioned, your Tom Brady's, your Drew Brees, even your Aaron Rodgers, you think Peyton Manning, and again, injuries, obviously is definitely it's inevitable. Those things are going to happen. But if you can stay healthy, the front line, that's those guys that protect the quarterback, they can keep you upright and you keep your skills sharp. You can be one of those guys that I just mentioned. But if you think about Sam Darnold, a lot of his, I guess inadequate production thus far, I think it has a lot to do with his protection. If you give a guy with this skill set, because obviously coming from college, there was a lot of expectation, high hopes for this guy. If you give this guy some protection, I think you will see really the production that everybody's been expecting.
Oh, unfortunately, T.O., I think it may have to come somewhere else. Let me ask you about the other team.
Spoken like a real Jets fan, a New Yorker, it sounds like it.
Hey, I'm just being honest here, T.O. I think it may be time to go and start over. Let me ask you about the other team here in New York, and that happens to be the Giants. We've seen the injuries. We saw the injuries to Daniel Jones. He was running so damn fast, it looks like he hurt himself. You have Saquon Barkley, unfortunately, went down with his ACL. You are someone, you're a physical marvel and freak. I mean, even for what you've done late into your career, how has fitness kind of shaped what the NFL is now? Do you think that we need more preseason, less preseason? Do the players need to work on some things different? We seem like have so many leg injuries.
I think guys need to really just obviously prioritize really their off-season workouts. Nutrition, obviously, I found out sort of like it kind of just pushed my skill set and my production to another level. But honestly, when you talk about lifting weights, you have to really find somebody that's really in tune with who you are, in tune with your body. A lot of these guys, they're just jumping with trainers who say they can train, they can do this. Even just in terms of really maintaining your body, a lot of these, again, PTs, these physical therapists, they're throwing up all these physical therapists, you know, offices or what have you, putting a gym in there, and in addition to the physical therapy, and thinking that they're giving these guys the best that they need. For me, I didn't do that. I kind of separated the two, but I got a lot of these guys are trying to do some cutting edge stuff where they do both. They try to offer these athletes the best of both worlds, where they offer PT in the same space that they're doing strength and conditioning, agility work, things of that nature. One of the guys that you mentioned, Saquon Barkley, I know he worked out, I think, a little bit with Odell Beckham Jr. He got injured as well. I think both ACL injuries, like I said, me personally, I think some of the, I guess, the physical therapists that they've been using, what have you, I think it was more so those facilities, they're utilizing and they're trying to really profit on the guys coming to these facilities, you know, and trying to get other guys, you know, other athletes in there just to promote and get their business, when they're really not really concentrating on the health and of these and the priorities of these guys. So for me, yeah, nutrition was very big. But when it comes to really just lifting weights and really trying to optimize your performance, you got to be really serious with that. And not just, you got to be careful with who you bring into your circle. Again, a lot of these guys are on social media. They're doing a lot of workouts, doing this just for the flash and getting likes and things of that nature. I didn't do that. I probably if I played today, I wouldn't be about that either. Yeah, if some guys are going to come in and they bring their cameras and they see me working out, but I wouldn't make it a production. But I know that's what guys, this is, we're in a different era now. That's what these guys are doing. So I wish the best for some of these guys. But again, sometimes you have to take advice from guys that have been there and you've seen the success, you know, from those guys, like, you know, like myself. A lot of people, again, they've reached out to me and they've asked me, okay, well, what do I do here? What can I do here? And I try to give them, you know, a little bit of input. It'll last maybe for, you know, for a little bit, but, you know, it'll fall off, you know, somewhere down the road. But even my guy, Julio Jones, a lot of these guys that were injured this year, I know the facility that they went to, Sports Rehab LA, and it's unfortunate. And it's, there's no coincidence. All these guys I know went to this physical therapist. And like I said, these guys are being injured. Is it related to that? But for me, looking at it, it's got to be something that's being done wrong or they're not doing as to why these guys, especially these are top guys too. You think of Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Saquon Barkley. Some of these guys are tied to this, to that same physical therapy place. And it's not that I'm throwing shade. I'm just keeping it 100. Like I said, I know I've been there, but it's something, there's something to it when you have, these are top guys that really was lost during the course of the season due to injury. So these guys need to really take notice and really prioritize, really, because if you want to have a successful career, the main thing about having a successful career, I played 15 years in the league. It just doesn't happen just by happenstance. For me, it was a level of commitment, that consistency. And that's what these guys need to apply to their game. Not saying that they're not, because I know Julio Jones, this guy, workhorse. I worked out and trained with him a few years ago. I worked out briefly a little bit with Odell Beckham Jr. a couple of years ago, just running routes. And then I think it was Saquon's rookie year. Saw him running some routes out here as well at UCLA. But that would be my advice to a lot of these young guys is, you know, prioritize, you know, what's best for you. If you want to have a successful career, don't just jump on the bandwagon of all these, you know, these trainers that are coming at you left and right to train you when they really probably don't have the experience. They can come with you with all the buzzwords all day long to really, really entice you to really becoming a client of theirs. But you got to do your diligence, do your homework, just like they study plays and trying to become successful on the football field. You have to vet these guys out that are really preying on us as athletes the same way.
Terrell Owens is here with us. A couple of playoff questions before I got you out of here. You mentioned Andy Reid earlier here. What did Andy Reid mean to you as a coach? And you see him now with that title. What are your thoughts about Andy?
Oh, man, he just unleashed whatever abilities that I had, you know, in me as a receiver. I felt like I was being underutilized in San Francisco. There was, you know, I didn't have the luxury of a Joe Montana or Steve Young for the entirety of my career. I played 8 years in San Francisco, and I only got a little snippet of that with Steve Young. I only played 3 years before he ultimately got, obviously was forced in retirement because of some of the concussions. And so I remember that game vividly. We were playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, and Aeneas Williams was over me, lined up over me when he blitzed. It was a disguised blitz, and he left and went in and he hit Steve, and that was his last play. And so from there, you know, there was a number of quarterbacks that I played with, you know, from Jeff Garcia, Tim Rattay. I mean, I played with Elvis Gerbach. I mean, Jeff Brom. There was a number of guys, quarterbacks that I played with throughout the course of my career that enabled me to do the things that I did. So, you know, I'm just very, very fortunate to have been able to play with Steve Young. But just, if I had a quarterback like that, you know, through the entirety of my career. But when I went to the Philadelphia Eagles, when you talk about Andy Reid, it's not a surprise that he's having the success and doing the things that he's doing in Kansas City. He was on the cusp for so many years in Philadelphia prior to me getting there, of getting to the Super Bowl. And it wasn't until I came to that team and what people, some of the teammates have given me a lot of credit for, even though I didn't play in those two playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl when I played, was that I brought a lot of swag. I brought a lot of confidence.
After a broken leg, man.
Yeah, to that team. And so when you think about and you look at or research what I did in Philadelphia, I didn't know that I was, like I said, I was scoring, you know, I was scoring touchdowns left and right. You know, I know some of these stats because fans, you know, they with social media, they tell you what you did. And so I they said I played in 21 games and I had 20 touchdowns. So it was damn near a touchdown a game when I played with the Philadelphia wow. Eagles. And I can't say enough about number one, the city of Philadelphia. When you talk about, you know, blue collar, hard nosed, they're passionate fans. I came there not wanting to disappoint. But like I said, although I didn't play in the two playoff games leading to the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people knew I played a big part, integral part of us getting there.
You even launched your own wine label. T.O., tell everybody about 81.
Well, yeah, 81, it's something that's been in the work for a little while. 81 Wine, 81 is the name of it. If you want to, you know, get a glimpse of it, you can go to 81vino.com. I was very instrumental, a lot of input, a lot of insight as to the aesthetics of the bottle. And obviously, like I said, becoming, you know, developing a palate for wine. I know I'm health conscious or what have you. And I realize, you know, over the years, you know, I've heard people say, you know, a glass of wine is good for you for the antioxidants and things of that nature. But like I said, over the last couple of years, I was very, very fortunate to partner with Mr. Tommy Lasorda, rest in peace. And so this partnership came about with a mutual friend of mine who does some marketing and management work through Max Management. And he asked me, you know, what did I think about it? And I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. I said, you know, you would have to be living under a rock to not know who Mr. Tommy Lasorda is. Right. I wasn't a baseball fan growing up, but I heard of that name. It's just like, I'm sure now people, you know, that have don't know Terrell Owens, they've heard of T.O. You know what I mean? You have to be living under a rock not to know the initials T.O. So the same in respect with Tommy. And so when they brought this to me, I was like, this could be interesting. And so it's been fun, man. And just with the whole process of becoming knowledgeable about the process of winemaking, getting involved with the winemaker who helped produce 81, just with the process, the tasting process, and me trying to get the taste of this wine with this. I just erased the dry part because I'm not dry by any means.
Okay.
So I wanted to add a little bit of sweetness, if you will, or could, to the wine. Mm-hmm. So it offers the palate sort of like a ripe black cherry with hints of a cinnamon aromas, and then also some plum preserves and dark chocolate and spicy toasted oak.
Damn. I'm used to going, getting myself a glass of Malbec. I like it a little dry, a little sweet. I'm gonna have to go right. ahead and get us a taste, T.O. We've been chatting it up with a Hall of Famer, Terrell Owens. T.O., where can people keep up with you? Everything that you're working on in addition to your wine?
Number one, like I said, the wine, this is my newest venture. I got some other projects in the work. Dude, I'm working on candles, everything. A lot of people don't know that about me because, like I said, we talk about the media portrayal. They didn't really want to know the other side of T.O., but I mean, I'm in the home decor. I'm in that fashion. Obviously, I'm in the nutritional space. I'm getting there. But yeah, if you want to find anything going on with me, definitely my social media platforms. You can find me at Terrell Owens. That's Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well. You can find the wine at 81vino.com. Yeah, man, I'm on all social media channels, platforms, or what have you. And yeah, man, we're going to be, like I said, just I'm doing a lot of great things. Like I said, got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things in the pipeline. And like I said, man, I'm just trying to take advantage of what the NFL has afforded me to do. And so it's opened a lot of doors for me. And I appreciate that greatly. But don't take it for granted. I'm very, very blessed. And man, I'm just trying to do my part. I'm trying to really make a change in this world. Little bit at a time.
Okay, T.O. I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. T.O., a man of many talents, into many things. I appreciate you. We're going to take a break and come back. It's more JR Sport Brief Show right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.